Welcome to Natalia Benson, the podcast. I'm an astrologer, women's empowerment coach, and modern mystic living in Los Angeles. My podcast is here to inspire, encourage, and remind you that everything and anything is possible. I love sharing with you the tools that have healed, transformed, and up-leveled my life, everything from astrology to magical money, life purpose tools, mindset shifts, and pragmatic mysticism. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to seeing you in the show. Hello, my love. Welcome to another episode of Natalia Benson, the podcast. I'm so honored that you're here. Thank you for showing up. And I am just going to dive right into this episode. Actually, you know, before we do, I actually would love for you just for a moment to get really present and just ask yourself, like, authentically, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you? This is a practice that I've been dipping into lately of just really sitting with myself and asking myself how I'm actually feeling and not running away from the answer. And I feel like our guest today, she's called at GoFitJo on Instagram, Jo Encarnacion. She's unbelievable. We have such a powerful, powerful conversation. She is a Scorpio. I think she mentioned she's a Gemini moon, and just her openness, her candidness, her power. Part of this, the title of this episode is about the fierce matriarch, having this unapologetic energy about being a woman, being a pleasure-seeking being. And Jo and I really dive into a lot of very powerful subject matters today. We go into pleasure principles. Jo talks about objectification theory and also just the psychology and the trauma healing for women of color and just what she has moved through to really create a not only a powerful life, but really own her voice. So there's a lot of empowering topics that Jo and I move through and really just exploring our own relationship to our pleasure, to our sexual energy. And who better to do that with than a beautiful, fierce, powerful Scorpio like Jo. So Jo is a sexual empowerment coach, and I just love and respect so deeply her willingness to be so open and give herself permission to be expansive and to take up space, because that grants us permission as women. So I'm very, very excited, and I pray that you enjoy this episode. And I just love you guys very, very deeply. If you are loving this podcast, I know I have thousands of you listen every week, which is just mind-blowing, because if you go back and listen to my first episode, I literally was recording this with like an iPod headphone microphone. Just to really witness how it's grown is just really beautiful for me. And so what I would say, if you don't mind creating one moment today and just going and giving us a review, I would pray that it'd be 5 stars, what you take away from the show, and really also sharing this episode with Jo's wisdom, who can feel empowered and enriched by our conversation today. And I would definitely suggest sending it to someone who you feel may need it. So as always, I love you guys so deeply. Thank you for being here. Enjoy this episode and make sure that you go and give Jo a follow. If you are not already, we'll have her Instagram link and her website in the show notes. All right. Love you guys. Hi, gorgeous, my beautiful Jo. Thank you so much for gracing my show with your energy today. I'm really excited and honored to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. It's really funny because I feel a little silly, but also feeling really into myself. The fact that I'm like running in between looks on set and coming to this podcast interview with this full on I wish people could see it, but like I'm wearing this full-on spiky gold bra and a choker.
Babe, can you can you tell us about this look right now? Because when I just turned on my Zoom and I'm like beholding you, I was like, this is perfect.
So I'm on set for a brand called Vinta Gallery, and it is this Filipino-inspired clothing brand from Toronto. And we are bringing the energy of like the Filipino rebellion to the shoot. So like there are these beautiful pieces that are inspired by some of the wardrobe that is traditionally adored in the Philippines. And there's just like a mixture of like metals that we're playing with, leather, and really just kind of making it this like badass Filipino woman on the rise type of look and feel.
You look incredible, and we will have some video. So we'll definitely, we'll tag, we'll do all the things.
Cool.
So, babes, let's dive in. First off, do you mind telling everyone your zodiac sign?
I am a Scorpio with a Gemini moon and a Libra rising.
Oh my gosh, babes. Do you deeply connect to being a Scorpio?
I do. I definitely do, for sure. And when I started to learn a little bit more about the moon and the rising, I'm like, I could see why people see the Libra in me. And I could also now understand my emotions based on knowing that my moon is in Gemini.
That probably lightens a lot of the Scorpio, because Scorpio can be that deep water emotive. And then the Gemini is a little bit more like, let's like ease out of that and just like bring it more into the mental plane and that sociability, which the Libra ascendant too. Are you super into astrology?
I am.
Let's have a chat on that one time, because I could go in on your chart.
Yeah. I would love that.
Tell us a bit about your story, babe. Tell my audience what you do and just anything you'd love to share with us about your journey.
Yeah. So what I do professionally, I am a sexual empowerment coach. I give women the tools to become emotionally fit and step into their sexual liberation by helping them come home to their bodies and really kind of taking the, how do I say this? Like the fierce, loving, and compassionate approach of deeply loving themselves and radically accepting who they are in all the different archetypes that they embody, and then bringing it out forth so that they can really step into their own sexual sovereignty.
Incredible. That is Scorpio energy right there.
Yeah, like I like to tell people, I'm kind of like your like psychedelic journey in a coach. Like I will take you to the depths of your soul and then bring you out and help you emerge into something you never expected, but something that has always been there from the beginning.
What is sexual empowerment?
You know, to me, I think sexual empowerment is really taking ownership of everything about what it means to own your body, own your pleasure, own your joy, and find a sense of self-expression that's true to you. It's literally taking apart all the definitions of what we've known about sex and ripping them apart and making sure that whatever we define it as, whatever women define it as, it's theirs to own. It's whatever makes their soul moves. It's whatever makes their body moves, whatever makes their expression moves. And so even when I think about sexuality, like I don't think about sexuality as, you know, how you're having sex with somebody or how it looks. Essentially, to me, sexuality is the purest form of self-expression, right? It's like, it's everything in what we do. It's everything about us. It's how we look at ourselves. It's how we relate to others. It's how we express ourselves in the bedroom. It's how we express ourselves out in life. And yeah, I mean, sexual empowerment means whatever the fuck it means to whomever wants to define it.
I love that so much. This came through really strongly. What can we do? I'll speak just more from my perspective. I became very clear recently that pleasure is something that I felt very disconnected to and even guilty around, and not so much sexual pleasure, but just pleasure, like a joie de vivre about life. How can we connect to our pleasure? I feel like a lot of women, at least I've noticed kind of in my sphere and in the entrepreneurial space, we can get so deep into that masculine. It's easy just with the system that we live within. How can we like own that pleasure and come home to it? What are maybe some, how do you do it? I already know some of how you do it because we had our incredible Women's Day together, but.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting because it's taking me a journey, I think, to find what pleasure means to me. And a little bit about like my background and story is I'm first generation Filipino American. I'm the daughter of immigrants, and my entire life story has been interwoven with sexual trauma, has been interwoven with mental health issues, domestic violence growing up. And so I don't come from the most like joyful or pleasure filled childhood whatsoever. And so finding pleasure and joy has been always really challenging for me because growing up, I didn't have examples of what that looked like. I didn't have examples of what it looked like to be a woman who was fully in her own pleasure or fully in her own pleasure of knowing that she was cultivating the pleasure within herself. It was always the messaging and cultural conditioning of pleasure is given to me as a woman. And if it's given to me as a woman, it's given to me by typically a man, right? And so when it comes to finding pleasure, and the way that I like to tell my clients this is pleasure is whatever feels good to your soul, your body, your mind, and your spirit. And also whatever feels good to your pussy. I always like to say, you know, our bodies are both a transmitter and a receiver. And it is such a beautiful thing when you can get into a relationship with that communication because she can tell you exactly what turns her on. So for me, pleasure is very simple. It's what turns me on and what delights me, what allows me to tap into all the different versions of myself from my young inner child all the way to my wise ass sage crone archetype that I know I haven't quite stepped into, but I also know is a deep, deep, deep part of me, right? So pleasure to me is, I don't know, like pleasure to me, what feels like, what's coming to mind right now, especially as I close my eyes, is pleasure to me is like that sun kissing your skin. And it's this warm feeling where you feel comfort and you feel joy, but you also feel that deep inner peace and that childlike joy that kind of bubbles up and giggles as that sun is like kissing on you. And so like whatever the fuck that brings for you, like whatever it is in that moment, that's to me what that is. It brings forth like this curiosity and this desire to discover more about yourself or the world around you. That to me is what pleasure is. Like ice cream with like rainbow sprinkles.
I love that so much. I just yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get out of why I'm doing this and I'm going to go get myself a scoop of my favorite pina colada ice cream and just sit in the sun and enjoy it. So I feel like you just channeled me with what you just said.
Yeah, I was like, why am I getting a sense of right now, because I just feel like sun kissing the skin is the description of pleasure for me.
I'm like, you literally just described my Sunday afternoon. Tell us a little bit more. What have you always done this? Have you worked within this coaching space, within this particular focus for a long time? Is this something like, how did this dawn on you? How did this come to pass? Because you are so prolific in the way that you show up and in just the energy that you are. So I always am interested to hear, like, is this something that you were just like, I'm doing this, I know that I'm doing this, and you've been doing it forever? Or is it like all of a sudden you're like, this is it? Like, what? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, like I said, I'm first generation Filipino American. So in our household, sex was not talked about, body was not talked about. my mom would probably be like, what the hell are you wearing at the moment? If she ever, I mean, she's going to see this, but if she ever actually like walked into a space and was like, what is this girl wearing? No, I never actually imagined that at all. My first career out of high school was a hairstylist. I did that for 10 years. And the reason why I fell into being a hairstylist was not only was I good at it in high school and I was like the freaking kitchen beautician for everybody, but I also loved the idea of being able to give someone a sense of self-expression through their hair. There's so much storytelling in our hair. And I mean, I see it and I remember seeing it behind the chair of just like women who would come in and I would do their hair. There's just different chapters of their life story that was based on their look. And so I really like loved that. And that was my career for 10 years. And then I actually went to tech. I was a director of community at VSCO. And that career allowed me to get into the space of managing teams and managing people. And I remember it was like 2015. And I was like, this was about 2 years into my own wellness journey. So in 2013, I was getting overwhelmed, overworked, super burned out. The only female manager at this company. It was a startup also at the time. And so just like any other typical Silicon Valley story, you have so much pressure trying to get this company and baby off the ground that it literally was killing my physical body. And as a mother at the time, or I'm still a mother now, but as a young mom at the time, my kids were 3 and 9. I just remember looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, wow, I am not the woman I desire to be. And if I'm not the woman I desire to be, why is that? And how do I lead my girls to be a better example? And the one thing that dawned on me at that time was I wasn't taking care of myself. I didn't know how to. Self-care was not part of the Filipino culture, not part of my upbringing. You take care of yourself. It means you're selfish. You put everybody around you first. This is the story. This is the narrative. I mean, it was literally the story of martyrdom. And that's exactly what I grew up with. And so I remember rebelling against that story. And I was like, you know what? I know I need to take care of myself because in order for me to serve my daughters, serve my community, serve this company, I need to take control of my own self-care. And also at the time, I was starting to feel a lot of the same symptoms and thoughts and feelings of my mental health deteriorating. And I've always had like a journey and relationship with my mental health issues because, you know, like I mentioned briefly earlier, my history has always been intertwined with some form of trauma, some form of violence in my upbringing. And so when I was 29 years old, getting that same kind of feeling or thoughts bubbling up, I was like, I need to change this. Something needs to happen. And so it was my like pathway of being a people manager, my desire for empowering people, women, and then also the journey of like wellness that I took on that allowed me to see a different pathway, which was coaching. And so in 2017, when I left the startup, I actually got into health coaching. And as my story of like Go Fit Joe became bigger and bigger online as like an influencer, I remember like thinking and getting so many comments from women like, oh my God, you're so strong. You're so amazing. You're so this and so that. And I'm like, if you only really knew my history, if you only knew that the strength, the smile, the joy that you see comes from literally having to rebuild myself, repair it myself, going through the ashes time and time again, I don't know if you could really celebrate that, but that's what you need to celebrate, not what's on the surface. And so when I started sharing a little bit more about my mental health, my suicide attempt, and also my sexual trauma, that's when it clicked for a lot of people. And they were like, holy shit, this woman's got a story. But also, this woman has found a way to integrate some of the most painful parts of her life into her being. And just like anything, people are like, how do I get that too? Because not very many people want to talk about their sexual trauma. Not many people want to talk about the healing it took or where they're at with it now. And so it was my sharing of that part of my story, those dark, deepest parts, where people and women were like, I've got a story too. And you seem to be a coach who's walked through some shit in your life. And if that's the case, can we coach on this area of my life? And so sexuality was never something I thought about coaching at all. However, it makes so much sense considering there's so much history and so much, how do I say this? Like, there was so much shame for me around my sexual trauma that I added it all up. And I definitely did the work in therapy and in coaching to peel back those layers. But I also deeply knew that there weren't very many women of color or even Filipino women who were talking about all of this trauma that happened in their childhood because of the fear of, well, shit, what's your family going to think if you let go and let out all these stories and truths? And so coaching in sexuality, coaching in trauma, coaching in emotional wellness and relationships was definitely not the career path I thought I would find myself in, but it makes perfect sense.
Do you feel like, I'm looking at this from like that bird's eye view, how it's so magnificent. Let me put this into words, but how it's like your truest life purpose. Like, there's so many more eloquent ways to describe this, but it's like that nudge that God or the universe has just been waiting for you to catch on to. It's like this silent thing, and you kind of have to go through the other iterations of self, of career, of kind of bumping your head on what isn't you. Does that make sense? It's like, because I feel like what you're saying, it's so proverbial, because I feel very similarly. You're just like, it was kind of this thread that was like pulling you along all the time, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember being 15, 16 years old, and this was after the suicide attempt, which, you know, brought forth a lot. I mean, it was a silver lining for sure to go through something like that. And yeah, it was tragic because of the events leading up to it. But the suicide attempt led me into therapy, extremely intense therapy. And that therapy was necessary so that I could reparent myself at 16 years old and pull back from my family origin, which caused me so much pain in my childhood. And I remember thinking to myself, there has to be a reason why I'm going through all of this. There has to be a reason why all of this happened within literally a year and a half to 2 year span. Like, there's, I could only imagine the feeling of a teenage girl going through what I went through and then also feeling alone on top of all that, not only in her home, but like in her school and in her community, of just not that, like not feeling like she could belong. And I remember looking at my therapist and I was like, there has to be a reason for all this. There has to be. Like, it is so painful to have to go through all this and to have to like face all of this dark shit. Like, there has to be a reason. So looking through it now, looking back at all of it at 37 years old, 21 years of all of that history, I'm like, yeah, you were nudging me. The universe was totally nudging me into this. And now I think about what I do and I'm like, I have so much joy, like celebrating women for having transcendent orgasms or holding deep, courageous, brave, loving space for women to be like, this is how I feel about my body. This is the shit that I've been going through with my partner. This is the history of sexual trauma that I've been through in my family. And like being able to hold that space so courageously and bravely for them, I know I couldn't have done that if I did not walk through all that fire.
Gives me chills. It just reminds us, like almost makes me emotional too, because we can have those deep moments of suffering in our journey where it's like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. And I know how that feels. And then to just know and pray and to have the strength of what I believe is our soul to know like this isn't it and you have to keep going. And then the liberation that's on the other side of this, because as you said, you would not be able to meet these women to the depths of what they truly need to actually heal if you hadn't moved through what you've moved through. And so I think it just reminds us, and for anyone who's listening who maybe is in those middle stages or early stages of healing, just to know to never stop, because there's something so magnificent on the other side. It's just, it's not easy. It is. Why is it so... What is with, sometimes I ask him like, what is with this whole thing? Like, I don't get it, but I love it. And like, I don't love it. It's, you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, it's funny that you see that, because sometimes I'm like, am I just a masochist? Like, do I really just love healing that deeply because it feels good even though it hurts? And it's so true what they say, right? And this is like to anybody listening, when you're on your healing journey, it has to hurt first before the healing actually can begin. Like the deepest pain happens when you choose to heal yourself, because you bring forth not only your past wound, but you also touch on layers of the scar tissue that's there. And sometimes it's that rubbing against that scar tissue where you're like, holy shit, I don't remember why that hurts, but damn, that hurts. And then you go, oh crap, there's the ugly, pussy part of that wound that needs to be extracted and pushed out. And then it can breathe. Then it can heal. Then it can make sense. Then it can integrate into our lives.
I feel like we live in a, let's just say, speaking about the States or the what maybe a Western frame of mind where it's like, nope, out of sight, out of mind. And then what happens is we're just, my mom used to always say like the walking wounded, when you're not willing, as you said, to like, be like, wow, there's a wound here. It's like, treat your emotional wounds just as you would a physical wound. If you don't treat a physical wound, it's gonna fester. You're gonna lose a limb. Now, what, just something came through really strong as you were speaking, Joe, like, what have you discovered in your healing journey, healing sexual trauma, and perhaps, and I don't know, let me know if this lands or resonates, but also healing your lineage. Like, have you explored that? How does that express through you?
I take the most deepest breath for that. I remember being younger. And, you know, one of the pieces of my journey is domestic violence in my childhood. My parents and my brother and sibling, or my brother and sister, who happened to be 8 and 10 years older than me, they all grew up in the Philippines. And so they had, you know, the corporal punishment, the old school way of punishing, the old school way of parenting, the old school way of raising up any child. And here I am, this little New York American born Filipino girl who just has a mind of her own, but also a culture that she's trying to assimilate into. But then here's another culture that she is being raised to deeply honor. But somehow none of those two made sense to me, right? Like, here's deep family. And then here's what, you know, the way that I guess I can see American culture is like very of the individual versus like of the community. But knowing that my parents grew up in like deep Catholic roots, I remember being a teen and I was like, this whole Catholicism shit does not sound cool with me, just because of the ways in which they brought on that belief and what they were trying to, you know, teach me. And I just remember thinking, like, when I called the cops on my brother at 17 years old, and my brother was 24, 25, that was me breaking like intergenerational trauma right there. That was me breaking the chains of like how my entire family and lineage disciplined and like treated kids in their household, simply just because, you know, kids had a form of self-expression that they were trying to come into. And it was also a moment where, you know, it forced my family into therapy, something that they would have never sought out themselves, especially coming from that traditional upbringing. So yeah, intergenerational trauma, and now talking about sex, and like, here I am. Here's this. I always like to say I am my ancestors' wildest dreams and also everything that they desired to have. Because when I look back at like the actual history of where Filipino women were before Spanish colonialism, we had a deep heritage of 500 years of feminism. And so, yes, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams, but I'm also the one that they've always knew was coming, because here is all the history that I'm breaking through and breaking apart and like helping to lift up what was actually there before all of this shit, before all the conditioning, before all the patriarchy, before all the colonialism.
It is so powerful that that came through to ask you, because as when you said all of that, my entire body got chills. Like I was like, that is it. I can feel that. I feel things in my body, which recently I'm getting a lot more tuned into and just like allowing myself to trust those, just those little promptings. And one thing I wanted to add really quickly, you know, that Scorpio energy, that's it, right? Like to be the one to come through and say, this stops, like we must transform. We must take this to the higher echelon. So it's like to do that with your family. I mean, that is incredibly powerful. Like just, I always say that it's the strongest of the strong souls who are like, I'm not taking this to my children. I know that you're a mother. It's like, I'm not taking this to my children. Like, but so many beings, they just experience it. They hold the trauma and the pain, and then they just bring it. It just, that's how the cycle perpetuates, right? So have you read this book called The Body Keeps the Score?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite book. I think I've read it. It's one of my favorite books. I have so many, but that's one of my favorite books. I think I've read it 2 to 3 times. You know, like I said, the body is a transmitter and a receiver, and yes, it holds on to trauma. Yes. I believe in epigenetics. I believe we pass things down through our lineage. I believe all of those things. And I also believe that every single being has the innate and divine power to stop the intergenerational wounding and to stop the trauma. I always like say something with my daughters, and you know, whenever I'm course correcting them is like what I like to say. I always like look at them and I say, the trauma train stops here. We are not doing the things that my mother did. We are not perpetuating the same things that were in my previous marriage. We are not bringing forth the shit that was in our family before the divorce that I'm currently in right now. We're not bringing that in there. We're not bringing that to the future. It stops here. So the way we show up as a family, we show up differently. The way we show up as women, we show up differently. You speak your voice, you speak your truth. You also like don't do it in a way that is rude, but you stand firmly in your power because you are a woman and you are here to use that voice. And I don't want you to be afraid of it. I don't want you to be afraid of it.
Oh my God. I just want to keep crying. Like I'm so moved. And it's just so, it's so important.
Yeah.
Because I think about what I feel you and what you're bringing forward. And I think about, you know, my journey, so many women we know, and just the pain of, you know, the way I like to put it is just the lack of awareness, lack of consciousness, right? Because you are raising your girls with that awareness, that consciousness. I love that. I'm going to use that. The trauma train stops right here.
The trauma train stops here. It's not going anywhere else. It stops right here. And we're going to examine it. We're going to fuck with it. And we're going to derail it. Like it's not going anywhere anymore. It can't. It can't.
What for anyone who's maybe newly exploring trauma or newly exploring their relationship to maybe their lineage, what are your favorite books, whether they have to do with that or just anything? This is actually one of my favorite questions. Like what have been some books that have like really moved you and just woke up your consciousness?
Yeah, definitely. The Body Keeps a Score. One that has been really incredible too is, why am I forgetting the name of this right now? Oh, it's Pussy Reclamation by Mama Gina. That one's really, really incredible for any woman reading it. And the one that has always got me moving, and this is a weird one, but there's something about this book that like just touches a side of me that feels like it needs to get activated every single time I need the warrior in me to stand through or like stand up and rise. It's called Relentlessness. And I think the author is Tim S. Grover. I could be wrong with that. It could be just Tim S. Grove, but it could be Grover. It's a book written by a basketball coach. But I think the one thing about it.
I'm freaking out. I just listened to an interview with him today. I've never heard his name before.
Yeah. It's a really good book. And he just talks about being a closer. And there's something about that terminology where it's just like, yeah, it feels so masculine, but for whatever reason, it touches in the deep feminine warrior in me where I'm like, yeah, actually, I'm a fierce matriarch. This is the fierce matriarch in the rising. And I am a closure. Like I am a closer. Like I can do this. And so that book is, I come to it every single time when I need like an audio book to just kick me in the ass.
I'm sorry. I just had a moment. I'm like, I love listening to Lewis Howes podcasts and just started listening to Tim Grover. I've never heard his name before. I had no idea. So when you said it, I was like, oh, that sounds familiar. He's a basketball coach. I'm like, okay, definitely going to finish that interview. Let's talk about the fierce matriarch, babe. What is that? I get like completely activated. Like my sacral is just like, boom. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. You know, I'm still trying to define this in myself. This thought of the fierce matriarch came up maybe about 2 weeks ago. And the reason why she started to kind of bubble up through thought, through conversation within myself and introspection is because I'm currently right now going through a middle of divorce. I'm leaving behind a 12-year marriage that I've been in relationship with the father of my kids for nearly 18 years. And I'll take full responsibility here. I pretty much subscribe to the martyrdom story about what it meant to be a wife and a partner and a mother. And there was so much of just putting up with whatever I needed to settle for simply because family needed to come first, or this idea of nuclear family needed to be the thing that was more important over my own sovereignty, over my own beliefs. And I was like, no, because if my daughters were in this relationship and they were coming to me with some of the questions I'm having about this relationship, the advice I would give them is, babe, this relationship is not serving you and you need to go. And so this concept or archetype of the fierce matriarch is literally the woman who is like, these are my fucking kids. This is my truth. I'm taking control of this shit because you're acting like a damn child. And, you know, I'm saying that with such fierceness because I think so often women are afraid to hold their men accountable in their relationships. And I'm saying this based on experience as a coach who listens to women's deep, intimate stories week after week. And I just keep hearing the same story over and over and over again. There is a woman in front of me who's spilling her heart out, telling me that something doesn't feel right about their relationship, their situation, the way they're communicating. And she has a desire to change that. But because of the patriarchy, because of what is told as who is the leader in their household, she doesn't want to say anything about it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, if we think about primal brain and we think about animals and we think about the way animals treat their young, mother comes first, no matter what. And there is absolutely no replacing the mom. But the men in like an animal type of primal feel like they can be replaced. And I'm not saying that like men are dispensable and I'm not saying any of that stuff because I do believe in divine balance when it comes to a relationship. And I do believe in masculine, feminine, in even just within ourselves. But there is this part of me that's like, if I was an animal, if I was a jaguar, and if my kids were being threatened, not physically, but the safety, the sanctity of this home, this tribe, my like cubs and me and my animals and my babies. I'm going to be the fucking mother jaguar and be like, these are my children. And I know what's best because in me is the truth that I birthed these kids out. So yeah, I know what's right for them. And I'm going to stand for that. Especially if the man in the unit is not stepping into that divine masculine role that needs to be the leader for everyone. So I'm still trying to make sense of what that fierce matriarch is. And to anybody listening that part resonated, I'm not saying to go out there like a freaking jaguar ripping apart your spouse whatsoever, but think about that power within you. And if you were going to just literally that primal energy that's deep, deep, deep within you, and there is something wrong about your family unit or your tribal unit, do not for 1 minute think that that sense, that felt sense that you feel is inaccurate. Because that felt sense is accurate. You just have been conditioned to believe to not listen to that felt sense. So bring it.
Wow. There's so much that just came through. Why do you mentioned conditioning? Why do you think we ignore that deep sense? Why do we ignore the opportunity to hold our partners with that level of that divine masculine accountability? I love that so much.
I think we have, historically, we think about women, we have been objectified ever since the industrial era. Our body parts have been seen as just objects. We've been pieced and pulled apart like cattle. This is history. So it's not like just me just saying this. This is what objectification theory is if you look at psychology. And when we think of it that way, when women were being sold for land and property or for dowry, it's like we don't know what beauty we really are because we're literally currency. We were treated as currency for centuries. And if you think about it, women's rights only started in like the 60s. So we're just at a very early point of any woman having a voice. And then on top of all that, you add like a woman of color and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like here's another layer to that. Hold on. Wait, what is that? That's oppression over oppression over oppression. So we don't give rise to it, A, because women for centuries have just been oppressed. B, we don't know how to because we need the masculine to actually step aside and go, wait, let me support you. Not provide for you, but let me support you and hold this deep reverent space for you that requires even our own bravery as men to say, yep, let me check myself and let me help you rise. Let me invest in womanhood. Let me invest in your future because, like I said, there's no replacing mom, right? There's no replacing that woman within your life. And I know for some people that might hit a certain area because maybe you didn't have like a mother figure in your life that raised you a certain way that you desire. The beauty about that though, is that you can become that mother for yourself that you never had. And so even if you just like tap into the energy of like that mother, yeah, there is no replacing that mother. There isn't.
I have, when you put it in that context of like the primal, you know, kind of, I guess hierarchy could be a word to describe it, but it's like we sometimes forget those roots and it makes us confused in our modern lives because we are quite disconnected. And many of us, I'll speak for myself, I actually just have a MyHeritage DNA test because I have no idea what my lineage, my heritage is. That's one example. But then in addition, for so many of us just as a collective, we living in these modern, experiences, these kind of nuclear families and very separated, we forget our connection to a primal hierarchy and the need for balance and the need for roles. And I think this can go very philosophical and maybe not roles that feel limited and binding, but rules roles that synchronize and complement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what you're bringing forward with that, I hope I'm bringing justice to it, but it's like, that's really what I receive from it. And I wonder how we can get more connected to that herstory inside of us and then bring it forward in an evolved way. And I feel like a lot of it has to do with like opening up our throats, our communication, our ability to be vulnerable, to like even speak what we need. But what do you think? How do we like bring it forward?
You know, I think it's funny. For whatever reason, humble pie comes to mind, like humility and humble pie. And there just needs to be people who just like stand up and say, you know what? I fucked up. I didn't get it right. I thought this is the way I needed to do something. And turns out I was deeply wrong. And instead of asking myself, what was I here to do on this planet? I was asking, what can everyone do for me? Right? And I think when we can take radical responsibility for that authority of ourselves, and also radical responsibility for the lessons we need to learn and the lessons we need to acknowledge, that's when harmony and change and alchemy can start to happen. Because then you just get this gigantic pot of like all these ingredients, and then you get to go, cool, how do I make sense of this now? I've been saying this a lot in conversation lately. I believe that like my generation, our generation, Natalia, are the generations that are here to fuck shit up. And it's my daughter's generation that's here to literally rebuild the future. Because we're the ones who are breaking generational trauma. And they're the ones who get to witness our painful hurt and painful healing. But they get to go, wait a second, there's history. There's pieces of our history that's missing. There's a lot of her story, like you said earlier, that's missing. How do we start to bring forth the conversation, not to just like diminish the story that's already here that we've been telling forever, but how do we fill in the gaps so that it doesn't feel like truncated history?
I absolutely love that. And I think of something too, babe, like, so we are Pluto and Scorpio generation, right? Your Pluto's in Scorpio?
I'm not sure. We're going to look at my chart.
Yeah. We'll have to look at it. I'm excited to look at your chart. But just to touch on what I'm pretty positive you are. And so here's the thing. Our generation literally is like that Scorpio energy is like, put the boundary down. Like, here's what will no longer be crossing this barrier. And then your daughters, many of my best friends, all mothers, they are, most of them, Pluto in Sagittarius generation. So that really is going to be like, you know, because Sagittarius energy is like the teacher. It's the philosopher. It's the spiritual guru. It's like bringing forth, like it kind of lightens the energy. But we have been the ones of being like, whoa, here is all this disgusting shadow remnants of all this shit that's just been swept under. And you know, Scorpio energy. It's like, fuck no, that's not happening anymore. So just to speak to that from, I always like to bring it back to the astrology as well, because it's like, that's actually what's happening. Like, at that generational level, like according to Pluto, like the Pluto placements, which is just super fascinating.
Oh my God. Yeah. We are going to have a separate conversation about all of that. Cause I remember one of my first, it's funny, like I've always been to astrology, but because I grew up Filipino Catholic, like I put that whole, you know, like knowledge of that the stars were guiding like principles for human beings aside because of that. And then there was definitely a humongous part of my journey in womanhood where I was like, if I come out talking about how I love the stars and like to play with like colorful rocks and think that, you know, religions shouldn't really be religions, but we should have like a multitude of different religions and like create our own self-guided religion, people are gonna think I'm fucking batshit crazy. And I remember thinking this, like, I'm just going to tuck this part of me away because it's not safe yet. And because, I mean, truthfully, it was like, it wasn't even safe to come out in some of the most intimate settings of my own life when I was younger, such as my marriage, such as my family of origin, that family, even some of my girlfriends at the time in my early 20s, because they just weren't conscious and awake to that knowledge yet. And so I'm in deep love of where we're currently going, because I'm just like, yeah, we're in that pathway. We're in that direction of bringing forth a lot of this ancient knowing that has been here forever and makes such divine sense to like all of us. We just need to like piece together what makes sense for the individual.
This is a question I have, just last couple questions. Do you feel that in you coming into like the health of your body, the strength of your body through your fitness and wellness journey, that that was what set the stage for you to do the deeper healing work and start to awaken to what had occurred in your past and have like a foundation to actually heal? Do you look at it that way?
Yeah, I always say that my fitness journey and my wellness journey was a journey of self-discovery. It wasn't a journey to get fit. It wasn't a journey to like get my mental health together. I mean, yeah, those were, I think, secondary and primary reasons and focuses. That was the focus I put out in the public for sure, just because it was easier to digest. But the reality is my wellness journey was an opportunity for me to peel back the layers of my own bullshit that I took on from everybody and to really get down to the core of who I am meant to be here on this planet and what I'm meant to do. And while I'm still figuring it out, yeah, I know it was all about me getting into relationship with my body that allowed me to begin to understand what was the pathway I needed to walk through so that the rest of me could be in alignment.
And one of my last questions, babe, is how can we, in that relationship to our body, how can we begin to explore our relationship? You mentioned how that sexual empowerment, the, I'll say, pleasure empowerment, or just making that connection, it's so individual. What would be some things that maybe are the beautiful women who are listening with us could actually take and be like, okay, this is where I can begin. This is how I can actually explore what pleasure means to me.
Yeah. So I always say like, start with a pleasure practice and remember that self-pleasure is not about masturbation. It's about understanding and unlocking your body's ability to sink into embodied sensuality. And by embodied sensuality, like, and let me just like back up just a hair. I know that your podcast, you talk a lot about embodiment and getting into the body and really living, breathing and acting in that truth. And so when I define sensuality and how I define sensuality is, sensuality is not that like, you know, first step to sex. It's not that like warm up. It's not that R&B song or the red roses on the ground. Sensuality at the very most primary focus of it all is all about your senses and your sensory experience. So when you're doing a self-pleasure practice, start from the basics. What do you like to smell? What do you like to taste? What do you like to hear? What do you like to touch? What do you like to see around you? That will activate your senses and turn you on in a way that's true for you and what feels good based on those five senses. And then get into a relationship with sensual touch on your body. So many women and even men get into the space of, all right, if I'm going to have sex or if I'm going to have self-pleasure or whatever, I got to make it quick and I need to go reach for like that orgasm or the thing that's going to make me feel good immediately. Like the thing that we all talk about in magazines and whatever. But it's like, what if you just focus on sensual touch? What if you awaken your skin? What if you give a chance to make your body feel alive simply by touching your arm in the most softest, delicious way? What if you caressed it in the same way that you would feel the rose petal on a brand new rosebud that's like super soft? What if you put your favorite oil on and smelled it before you actually put it on so that you can take it all in and then layer it on your body as if it's like the most beautiful adornment that you will put onto yourself. Even if the shit is Johnson & Johnson's baby oil, but you give yourself a moment to like really invite and evoke the senses. When you do that, you activate the most primal form of communication your body knows. Because when you think about who you were as an infant, what do you learn as an infant? You learn all about your five senses. What do you see? What are you tasting? What do you touch? What do you smell? What do you hear? And when you can do that, you tap into the most primal part of your knowing, and that is within your body. And that is it. Outside of that, everything else are layers of things that we bring into our own experience. But there is nothing more grounding or centered than knowing the truth in your own sensuality and what turns you on. So that to me is where we start. Start with figuring out what turns you on in those five senses. And it doesn't need to be sexual at all. It's literally about awakening your senses and awakening your body's communication system.
Joe, you are a gift. I am so grateful that the internet brought us together. From the moment I saw you, I was like, who is this fierce matriarch? If I'd known that saying, that's what I would have said.
Oh God, that was such a time too, because I was just at the beginning of my soul care sabbatical when you met.
Yep.
And I took the conscious and intentional time off to not think about building my business, to not think about like trying to be on social media and do all the things. And I just took that time off to take care of me and get back into touch with my own senses. And I actually think I might courageously still take another month off, which is scary as an entrepreneur, but also so necessary as a woman. And I have to trust myself that I know I have the ability to build everything back up when I'm ready to.
Yes.
But that rest is deeply needed, because I can feel in my own like lineage and in my own body, I'm carrying the weight of other wounds that are not just my own.
100%.
And I've got to peel back those layers so that I can come back in as a fierce matriarch for not only my clients, but for my daughters and like the rest of the world who needs me to.
I honor you in that, because not long after I met you, I got very sick and like crazy adrenal burnout. And the whole time I was like, my body was like, you must rest. But of course my left brain was like fighting, but then the energy, and that's what you just said is exactly what I realized. I realized that it's so incredible when your business begins to flourish, because it's like, this is what we've been working to create. But then when you're in service to others, like we have to make sure that we also stay in service to ourselves, because it's like that, I mean, that burnout is real. And we, like, for lack of a better term, like we have to keep that connection to what is real, and the business and the success and the growth and all the outward facing, it can get you disconnected. So I honor you that you are so aware and in tune that you're like, I'm making this as a conscious decision for me as an Aries. I feel like multiple times my soul has just like kind of brought it upon me because I wasn't listening. But when you're willing to be in the grace and the strength of that embodiment and that choice, you set such a precedent for me to be like, oh, I can do that too. And to know that we're safe. That was a big word that kept coming up for me in my time of just taking some time off, was like, I'm safe, really healing at the root. I've been doing a lot of root chakra work lately. It's been incredible just to feel safe in all that we do and to slow and rest. So I honor you in that, and you inspire me to do something like that too.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, for any of the women who are listening, what you just said, Natalia, I mean, I had to also tell myself I'm safe to rest. And so for any women who like might feel that desire to take some time off, but maybe your body like is freaking out about that idea, sit with your body, sit in deep meditation, even lie down naked in your bed sheets and just tell yourself, you are safe. You are safe. You are safe. You are deserving of this rest. But most importantly, you are safe.
That makes me cry. I am safe to rest. I had a dream where I was going around the dream and I was saying in my head all these negative things. And then I was seeing all these negative things occur. And then I had this awareness in my dream of being like, what if you spoke the opposite? And so in my dream, I started speaking affirmations and then everything started to transform. And I was like, okay, subconscious soul, love you so much. Like, that's a big one. Thank you so much for this. Where can these beautiful women find you, connect with you, work with you, all of the things?
Yeah, I am currently right now enrolling for one-on-one mentorship, and I do a six-month mentorship and also a breakthrough day experience where we work on your sexuality. So I am taking a handful of clients for the rest of the year. And you can find me online at GoFitJoe, my website, GoFitJoe.com. And also you can listen to more of me ranting about sex, love, relationship, sovereignty, all the things on my podcast called Nothing Confidential.
We will link everything in the show notes. Joe, I truly cannot thank you enough. I'm so honored. Thank you so much for gracing me and this beautiful sacred space just with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
If this episode has served you, I ask you to share it, to send it to someone where it could make a big difference and help them heal or create a new perspective in their life. Please tag me with your shares, something you learned from this episode or that you loved from this episode at Natalia_Benson on Instagram. Also, please DM me with questions or feedback or whatever. I love to stay in touch with you. Thank you so much for your support. Consider subscribing to this podcast, leaving me a 5-star review so we can continue to grow together. Thank you so much. I will see you very soon. Mwah. Thank you.